Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Pei Zayin. We are holding on daf Pei Vav Amid Beis at the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amid Beis. So Shir is sponsored by Rav Teller Shlita Lezecher Nishmas, his father, of Shlomo Meir Ben Baruch. Rav Teller has written extensively about his father, and anyone who reads it could see that he was a very, very special person, and the neshama should have an aliyah through our learning and through all the mitzvos and ma'asim tovim that the Teller family and Rebbe Rav Teller do. The shir is also sponsored Luzchusar for Shalema for Sar Rivka Bas Hinda Bela, and she should continue to have a Rufor Shalema Be'ezus Hashem Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So today there are basically two topics on the daf. There's Amud Aleph and there's Amud Beis. Amud Aleph is all about Yayin, because we're continuing in the series of Mishnayos of where they got things from in the Beis HaMikdash and how to best produce them min ha-mufchar, in the best possible way. So we discussed where they got the grain for the Karban Mincha. We discussed where they got the oil for the Karban Mincha and for the Nesachim. And now we're going to discuss where they got Yayin from in the Mikdash and how to produce the best possible Yayin in the Mikdash. And all of the details are going to appear on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. And then we're going to begin the 10th parak of Maseches Menachos, and the parak is going to begin with the Mishnah about how many midos hayavesh there were in the Mikdash, how many measuring cups they had for dry measures in the Mikdash, Machlokas Tanayim. So we're going to discuss the that inyan of midos hayavesh and exactly how they were used and how they would measure out the Chatzi Isarun for Chavite Kohen Gadol, and whether the midos were Gedushim or Mechukim, whether they were heaping or they were just flat midos. And at the end, and then we're going to have a Mishnah at the end of the daf, which we probably won't get to today, where it's going to list the liquid measures of the Beis HaMikdash, because the first Mishnah is going to discuss the dry measures of the Mikdash. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis relating to Yayin. So says the Mishnah, Me'ayin hayu mevi'in es hayayin, where would they get wine from in the Mikdash? Keduchim ba'atulin alfa liyayin. The grade A wine, the best wine, was from Keduchim and Atulin. Shni lehen, Beis Rima u'Beis Lavan Bahar. And the second level wine was from Beis Rima u'Beis Lavan. U'Kfar Signa b'Bika. Or if you were going to the Bika, not to the mountainous region, it would be Kfar Signa. Really, you could bring wine from anywhere, El Mikano Yumavin, but that's where they would bring wine from. Ein Mavin Lomi Beis Hazvalim, they do not bring wine from a field that is fertilized. Volomi Beis Hashlachim, nor a field that has to be watered by human hands. Volomi Mash and Nizra Benehen, nor would they bring wine from a vineyard that has other plants in between the vines. But in all those cases, vim hevi kosher. If they brought such wine, it would still be kosher. Ein mevi'in halistion vim hevi kosher. They're not supposed to bring sweet wine for the Mikdash, but if they do, it is kosher. Ein mevi'in yashan divrei Rabbi v'chav machshirin. As far as old wine, that's a machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Ein mevi'in lo matok v'lo me'ushan v'lo mevushal vim hevi pasul. You're not supposed to bring sweet, smoked, or cooked wine, and if you do, such wine is pasul for the Mizbeach. Vein mevi'in min adloyos ela min haraglayos, that you're not supposed to bring wine from vines that are on top of poles, but rather vines that are running along the ground. Umin akram mavudin, and also you're supposed to bring from vineyards that are worked properly, that they dig around them enough. The Gemara will quantify how much is enough. They do not gather the wine in large barrels, but rather in smaller barrels, because since they're only taking a little bit at a time, so if they have it in large barrels and they're going to keep going back to it, taking a little bit at a time, there's a chashash that it would more likely spoil more quickly. If they also wouldn't fill the barrel all the way up to the top, they would leave a little space in order for the aroma to develop properly. Eino mevi mipia mipnei akamachin. They wouldn't take wine from the top of the barrel because of the white, but the whiteness that looks like a flowery substance that sometimes appears at the surface of the wine. Rabbi Teller normally, whenever I can't find a word, he emails me the word I was looking for later that day. So I'm stumbling. So velo mishulia mipnei shemarim, and nor from the bottom of the barrel because of the sediment that's at the bottom of the barrel. Ela mevi mishlisha me emtsa'a. But rather they bring it from the middle third, the middle of the middle third of the barrel. Ketzad ubodek. How would they check to make sure that the wine that they have is the proper wine from the barrel? A gizbar yoshev, the gizbar would sit there, v'akana biyado, and he'd hold the stick in his hand, zorek hagir, hikish bekana, and as soon as the bad part started to come out, the whiteness started to come out, he would bang with the stick a little bit, and that would be an indication to stop pouring from the barrel. Rabbi Yosef Yudah Omer, sheyesh v'kumach impasul, shenera tmim yu lachem u'minchasam, tmim yu lachem v'niskehem, that you can't have any of the whiteness in the wine that you can use for the Nesachim, because it says Tmim Yulachem, that Viniskeim, that the Nesachim have to be Tmimim, and that would be like Nesachim that's Balimum if you have the whiteness of the wine in the barrel. So a number of small points in the Mishnah over here. First of all, we had mentioned in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to bring from a vineyard that has Nizra Beinehem, that has other plants in between the vines. Well, can't you not have a vineyard that has other plants in between the vines? So the Chidushim Yuchasim Rashba raises the question. That's Kilei Akerem. You're not allowed to plant other things in between vines. So the whole thing would be Asabana anyway. The whole thing is absolutely forbidden. What do you mean? Just for the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to have such Yayin? So he says, so you'd want to say that, no, we're talking about where you space it properly. You're only not allowed to have other plants within a Kedei Yenika of the vines, within the area that the vines would be Yonah from the karka. But the problem is, the reason that you're not allowed to take from a vineyard that has other things planted in between is because we assume they're competing for the same nutrients, and therefore the vines are not going to produce grapes that are of the same quality. If they're competing for the same nutrients, they must be close by. It must not be a kedei yenika. So the Chidushim Chasam Rashba suggests that you have to say that there's a difference between a kedei yenika and what would be makchish, that there are different levels of competition for the yenika, that within the four amos, that would be kedei yenika, but beyond the four amos, it's still, even though it's not yonek from that karka, having weaker karka around it is still going to, in some way, be makchish the yayin. Now we said, but the in hevi it is kosher. Chaznish is not sure what's called hevi. I mean, Chaznish raises the suffix. What do you mean im hevi kosher? At what point do we say, okay, you've already done it, and therefore you don't have to replace it with other wine? Is it the moment you were makdish the wine bepeh? You just said this should be kadosh. That's already called hevi. Or is it only when it's neskadish beklisharis? Or maybe not even that. Maybe it's only once you were ready minaseh chal gabe mizbeach. But prior to being minaseh chal gabe mizbeach, it's not yet called im hevi. So that's the discussion that the Chazanish has. Now we also mentioned over here that you're not supposed to bring yayin that is mevushal. So the Mishnah Brura in Simin Reish Ayin Beis in Hilchos Kiddush writes that the Rambam passels yayin mevushal the Kiddush because he assumes that bishul is megareya es hayayin, that bishul makes the wine of lower quality. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that yayin megula is possible kiddush because it's not ra'i l'nesachim, meaning we assume that the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that whatever wine you can't use for nesachim is also going to be possible for kiddush. So that's why the Rambam in the 29th parak of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yudalid writes that yayin mevushal is possible kiddush because it's also possible l'nesachim. It's interesting, the Magen Mishnah writes, the Rambam does not say that you say a shahakol on it, right, in Hilchos Brachos, so he's moda that it's at least a bar piagafen. I mean, it's chashav enough to be a bar piagafen, but not chashav enough to use it for kiddush. So that's the Rambam sheet in Bishul. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Rambam would have to explain the Mishnah Maseches Trumos, because there's a Mishnah in the 11th parak of Maseches Trumos that tells us that Bishul is Mashbiach the Yayin. So how can you say that when you're Mevashal the Yayin, it downgrades it to the point where you can't use it for Kiddush? The Mishnah says Mashbiach the Yayin. So Aruch HaShulchan says the Ram would understand that it's Mashbiach in the sense that it makes it last longer, but the actual taste of the Yayin is hurt by it. So we're supposed to use Yayin that tastes the best for Kiddush. That's the Shitas HaRamban. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav seems to understand that the Svara of the Rambam is because anything that's possible in the Sakhim is possible in Kiddush, even if it's not Megarei HaTamo, even if it doesn't in any way affect the flavor of the yayin. So this is an interesting discussion. That's a much bigger discussion. We're not going to be able to have the whole thing now, but essentially the yayin, that line of that Gemara Babasra, that any yayin that you can't use for Nesachim, you're not allowed to use for Kiddush, would seem to disqualify a lot of the wines that we commonly use for Kiddush. Yayin that's Mavushal, we commonly use for Kiddush. Yayin that's Matok, that's sweet, we commonly use for Kiddush. Yayin that's more than a year old, we commonly use for Kiddush. So which of these halachos are really nogea to Kiddush and which are not? So it happens to be in the Hemshech of the Sugya, Babashan, Sadizayin and Beis, it says that it's Balamayit, Yayin that's Reach Ra, Yayin that's Megula, because we're afraid that a Nachash maybe got to it. But other than that, it's not really, with that line, you shouldn't read too much into it, it sounds like, from the Gemara. The Gemara just says clearly it's coming to be made those types of things, where it's Reach Ra. So as far as Yayin Mevushal, there are actually three Shitos in Rishonim. Tosos writes on in Babas over there in the name of Rashi and the Rash that Yayin Mevushal cannot be used for Kiddush because it's Nishtana L'ra and the Bracha would be Shahakol, meaning that's how bad it is. Once it's Yayin Mevushal, the Bracha would even turn to Shahakol. The Rambam, as we mentioned, he actually quotes two Shitos. He says that Yesh Omrim to not be Makadish, to only be Makadish on Yayin, right, and therefore even if a Tipas Dvash or Sa'or, even if just a little bit of sweetener goes into the wine, you can't be Mekadesh on it. And he says some are matir to be Mekadesh on it if it's a little bit sweetened. And the reason the Gemara doesn't mention that it's that we're Memaid Yayin that's royal from the Inyan of the Yayin that's royal Nasach Lagabim Mizbeach is the meaning the reason that it would be kosher is that because the Gemara only mentions that one miut. So Shita Satosos and the Ramban and the Rashba is that you could be Mekadish and Yayin Mevushal, you could be Mekadish and Yayin Mevushal, just not on the because the Yerushalmi says that Yayin Mevushal is kosher for Dalit Kosos. So Dalit Kosos, of course, is Kos Shel Kiddush. And that's what the Rush writes, that you can be Mekadish and Yayin Mevushal. So when the Gemara says that you can only be Mekadish Yayin, that's right, Nasach Kogam Mizbech, it means something that hasn't been Nishtan al Ra'a. But Yayin Mevushal is not Nishtan al Ra'a, it hasn't become any worse. How do we pass on Shulchan Aruch about all this? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Beis, Siv Ches, writes Stam that you're allowed to be Mekadish and Yayin Mevushal. He quotes also the sheet of the Rambam as a Yesh Omrim not to be Mekadish. And then the Rambam adds that the minig is that we're Mekadish and Yayin Mevushal, even if you have other wine, provided that the Yayin Mevushal is the better of the two wines. Meaning you look for the higher quality wine. So Mishnah Berurah says that the first day holds that Ali De Bishal, it's not Mishtana L'Ra'a, and the Yesh Omrim holds that Ali De Bishal, it is Mishtana L'Ra'a. The Shulchan Aruch also says that we're allowed to be Mekadesh on sweet wine. And Mishnah Berurah sounds like it doesn't make a difference how it was sweetened, whether it was sweetened by the grapes sitting in the sun for longer, what they call late harvest. Those are always the very, very sweet wines. And the wine that's, or whether it's wine that's sweet because the grapes themselves were a sweeter type of grape or whatever, meaning that not from being late harvest, it doesn't matter. Sweet wine is kosher for Kiddush as well. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Now there are people that are very makbid about this and try to have wine that fits all of the qualifications of being roi l'nasech al gabi hamizbeach. Okay, so let's see the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Ein mevi'in lo matok lo mevushal lo mevushal v'mehevi pasul. As far as nesachim, you're not allowed to bring wine that's sweet, that's mevushal, that's mevushan, and if you do, it's pasul. V'akatani reisha ein mevi'in es halistion v'mehevi kasher. But didn't the reisha say you're not supposed to bring listion? And we said listion means sweet wine that's sweetened by the sun. And if you do bring it, it's kasher. So how can the very next line of the mission say don't bring matok, don't bring sweet wine? But if you bring it, it's Pasul, some Ravina Kroch Vitani. You have to change it around a little bit. Machlokes Rishonim exactly how to read this line, but Pashtos Rashi writes is that you have to change that Listion is part of the sentence about Imhevi Pasul. That it should read Ein Ravina Listion Lefi Shein Ravina Lo Matok Velo Mushal Vechule Vimhevi Pasul. So it's all really going to be Pasul. That's the proper way to read the Mishnah. We have to change the Girsa. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says no. There's a chiluk to be made between Listion and Yain Matok. matuk. Chulya de shimsha lo ma'us, chulya de pira ma'us. Sweetness that comes about because of the sun, even though it's very, very sweet, that's not considered ma'us, and that's kosher for nesachim, even though it's very sweet. But chulya de pira, sweetness that comes from the fruit itself, so that's ma'us, that's considered to be pasul and nesachim, that's considered to be something that's disgusting for the mizbeach. You're not supposed to bring old wine, but the Chum say it's, according to Rebbe, the Chum say it's kosher. Amar Chizke, my time with the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get the idea that you're not allowed to bring yayin yashan from the previous year for nesachim? Amar Kra, because the pasuk says la keves yayin, that we apparently relate the keves to the yayin. So ma keves ben shnaso, just like the keves has to be a 1 year old, saaf yayin ben shnaso. So the yayin has to be from that year, meaning within the first year. So ima keves ben shteishan and pasul. So then, how far would you go with that? Would you say, look, a keves that's in the second year is already pasul because it says keves, it would be an ayil, it wouldn't be a keves. So if yayin ben shteishan and pasul, so would you say a yayin also when it's ben shteishan is pasul? And maybe you'll say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, that whatever the din of the age of the keves is, the same din as the age of the yayin. Vatanya, but we have a brisa that says yayin ben shteishanim lo yavivim hevi kosher. The yayin ben shteishanim is true lechachila, you're not supposed to bring it, but it is kosher if you do. So man shamalei damar lo yavi. Rebbe, who's the one that says lo yavi lechachila? It's Rebbe, the kamer of hevi kosher, and yet the brisa says that it's kosher. So don't tell me that because Rebbe compares it to a keves, that he's necessarily going to say that it's possible if it's a ben shtei shanim, because Rebbe must be the author of that brisa that says that it's kosher if it's ben shtei shanim. Ella amar Rava heinu time of the Rebbe. You know what? The reason why Rebbe says that the yayin should be a ben shana is not because of a comparison to keves. Rather, it's based on a pasuk in Mishlei. D'chsiv al tera yayin ki yis adam, that a person shouldn't be looking toward wine at the time of its greatest redness, because that's the time that it is best to drink, and a person shouldn't always be looking for such things. But the point is that you see that ki yis adam, that at the time of its greatest redness, which is in the first year, that's when the time is considered, that's the time that the wine is considered to be the most minamuvchar, that it is the best of the wine, which raises an interesting question. When we say al tera yayin ki yis adam, what does ki yis adam mean? Does that mean that when, right, that's the pshat that Gemara is clearly assuming, when it is most adam, when it is most red? Or is that also a statement about the definition of yayin? Is yayin by definition something that is red, and therefore if it's not red it wouldn't be yayin, and therefore wouldn't be ro'i for anything that you need yayin for? So the shita of the Rashbam and the Ritva, based on the Gemara Masechta Babasa, and Babasa in that sugya about the yayin, quotes that Rav Kahana asked Rava, chamer chivaryan mahu, what about white wine? Is white wine okay? And he answered, al tira yayin ki yisadam. So the exact pshat in that Gemara depends on how you understand how the Gemara is utilizing the pasuk. Is the pasuk defining wine as being adam, or is the pasuk saying something else? So the Rashbam and the Ritva understand that Rav Kahana was asking, can you use white wine for nesachim? And Rava said, no, yayin means red. But the kiddush, say the Rashbam and the Ritva, it's vaday kasher. The whole shaila was only about nesachim. The Ramban asks on the Rashbam that if that were the case, he should have said mahu l'nesachim. But he didn't say that. He just said, what's the status of yayin adam? So from the fact that he just said, what's the status of yayin lavan, rather, of white wine, sounds like he was really asking about Kiddush as well, and not just Nesachim. So therefore it would turn out, according to the Ramban, that for Kiddush you're not allowed to use white wine, even B'diavad, you wouldn't be allowed to use white wine for Kiddush. The Rambam doesn't mention a word about white wine. He does, of all of his qualifications that wine has to have, doesn't mention a word about white wine being at all problematic. Not by Kiddush, not by Nesachim. So it sounds like he holds that it's kosher even lechatchila. In fact, the Beis Yosef in Archaim, in Reishayin Beis, says that the Rambam would explain that Rava's answer is laheter. When he says, what's the din about white wine? The answer is, al tiri yayin ki yis adam. So it sounds like the Rambam would understand, says the Beis Yosef, that he's telling him, don't look at wine for redness. Meaning that's what the pasuk is saying, that the redness doesn't really matter about wine. So it could be anything, it could be white wine also. That's how the Rambam understands. The Beis Yosef also, though, quotes the sheet of the Ritva and Bava Basra, that red wine is mitzvah min ha-muvchar for Kiddush. That's the best thing to use is red wine, but the evidence kosher to use white wine as well. Or if you don't have any other wine, then even l'chadchila, I guess that would be called a b'di'evet. And the Torah quotes the Yerushalmi that it's mitzvah be'edom. So in general, the way we assume, I think, is that if there's an equal quality red wine, better to use the red than the white. If there's no equal quality red wine, then the better to use the better wine rather than the worse wine. So says the Gemara, for the Ein Mevi'in Lo Min Adleya, so we said you're not supposed to bring wine from grapes that are sitting on poles, that are running across poles, but rather that are running on the ground. So Tana Krumim Avudim, and then we said, and also Min Avudim, you're only supposed to bring grapes from Krum that are Avudim, that are worked. So Tana Krumim Avudim Pamayim Shanim, means that you dig around them twice a year, and that makes for better grapes to grow in such a vineyard. Rav Yosef Havalei Karna de Pardesa. Rav Yosef owned the corner of an orchard, of a vineyard. The Rafak Beit Fei Rivka, and he would dig around the grapes a lot, twice a year. Va'avad Chamra de Dari Maya Al Chad Train, and it produced such strong wine that it required more dilution than regular wine. The way the Rishonim explained it, even though Achad Train normally means one part wine, two parts water, that would not really be special, because the Gemara assumed all wine needed at least that. The assumption is actually normally three parts water and one part wine. So what you have to say is that you have to be, that Al-Chad Train, that on the wine that came from Rav Yosef's Kerem, you added six chalakim of mayim for every chelek of yayin, in order that it should be ra'ui l'shtiyah. So lo yikonsnasam b'chatzavim gadol, and we said they also wouldn't store the wine in these giant barrels. So tana chavios kadios kadios ludios benonios. The chavios in the brisa that we're talking about are the they knew in Talmudic times to be the kadim that came from Lud that were of average size. Ein manichnosam shtayim shtayim. You also don't put them two at a time right next to each other. Ela achas achas. You keep them separate from each other, because the assumption is that if one wine barrel spoils, the spoilage will get to the reyach of the bad wine, will get to the other one more quickly if they're right next to each other. So he said, what would the gizbar do? He would sit with the stick in his hand, and he would be zarek hagir and hikish bakana. So what does that mean? Tana, the Brisa tells us, zarek hagir shall shmarim. When it would start to emerge from the barrel, the whiteness that are on the shmarim, that are on the bottom of the barrel, gizbar hikish bakana. So he would start to bang with a stick to let them know to stop pouring the wine. So says Gemara, isn't there a better way to let them know? V'lemele meimar. Why doesn't he tell them, stop, right? Why does he have to make a signal instead of just telling them? So I'm going to say, yei leil Rabbi Yochanan. This is a riot, Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, k'shem sha'adibur, yafal b'samim, kach dibur ra liyayin. That just like dibur is good for b'samim, so too dibur is bad for yayin. So if you were to speak too much around the yayin, the assumption is the reverberations of the sounds of coming out of his mouth are somehow going to be bad for wine. You get the sense that, you know, as much as we pretend to know how to taste wine, that they had some unbelievable ability to detect very tiny differences in the yayin, that the dibur was going to make such a difference in the yayin. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that any yayin that has kamachin is going to be pasul. So by Rabbi Yochanan, hikdishu mal sheyilkal of mishum bal mum. Same shaila we keep on having about all of these problems that you have with the eitzim and with the grain and with the shemen. So what about by yayin? Do we assume that if you have a yayin that has kamachin, that you get malchus if you're makdish such yayin because it's a balmum? Kiven the pasul kabalmum dami. Do we say, well, if it's pasul to use, so that's like a balmum and you can't be makdish balmum, so you chayv malchus? Odilma in balmum el bebehema, or maybe balmum only applies to behema, teiku, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Karanara is an interesting ha'ara over here. There are lots of different types of yayin that we said in the Mishnah that are no good, yet the Gemara only raises this suffix when it comes to yayin that has this whiteness to it, that has this this white stuff on top of it. It doesn't bring the issue about other types of yayin, mu'ushan and mavushal. Apparently that for sure is not a violation of Baal Mum, because it's not a mum, it's only something that's nishtana, that has changed, but it's not something that's considered a mum. By shemen, the Gemara brought the suffix, by kavush, mm-hmm. by shaluk, whether it's a violation of maklish bal mum. So apparently that's considered like a mum when it comes to shemen. So that's the ha'ara that the Karanara has over here, that even though it sounds like the same shayla, it's really much more limited in the conversation about wine. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. So the parak is just going to finish off with two points unrelated, really. First, that you know, we've been talking about where to get the best wine, the best grain, the best oil. We never discussed where to get the best animals for karbanos, the best zvachim. So the Braisa tells us. So it's obvious why the Tiferes Yisrael points out in the Mishnayos why the Gemara never discussed where to get the best animals. Because why would it matter? Meaning wherever you have the best guy who knows how to raise animals, it's got nothing to do with the karka, right? It's got nothing to do with the nutrients of the karka. But you know, klisheni it does. You know, if the animal is gonna be feeding off of the karka, I guess the way it develops will be affected by the kind of karka that it's feeding off of. Rav Zilberstein points out in Chashuk Echema that based on the Tiferes Yisrael, if you have a choice that you could either get the good wine or you can get the good place for the animals, lechora the good wine is more important because that's directly related to the karka as opposed to the places where the animals come from. That's, you know, it's only klisheni. So Tan Rabbanan. Elim imo, if you want to get the best elim that are 2-year-old animals, so you get that from Moav. Kvasim mechavron agalim, that's a tafyami coincidence, right? After Paras Chayesaron, right? Mechavron agalim misharon agalim come from Sharon. I also quoted Shulchan Aruch Rav before, and today's the day after the Kinnah Shluchim. Agalim misharon and gozalos is haramelech meharamelech. Gozalos comes, the best place to get them from haramelech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mevi'in kvas that the best is if they could find sheep that are as wide as they are tall. That would be like the choicest sheep to get. So I'm a Rava Bar Rav Shila. My time is Rav Yehuda. Where do you get the idea that such fat sheep are the best sheep? So kar nirchav means wide sheep, that their width should be very impressive. It says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Al chamosayich Yerushalayim hifkadeti shomrim kol hayom v'kol halayla tamid lo yechshu amaskirim es Hashem al domi lechem. The pasuk is telling us that the shomrim, the malachim, are always talking about Yerushalayim in front of HaKadosh Baruch. They're always guarding Yerushalayim and praising Yerushalayim. So my Amri, what would they say about Yerushalayim? Sach yamar Rava bar Rav Shila. After the Churban Yerushalayim, they would daven for the Binyan Yerushalayim. They would say, Ato sakum terachim tzion, and as, of course, the pasuk continues, Keis lechenna kiva moe, that it's already time to rebuild Yerushalayim. They daven for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, that they would mention in front of Hashem, the Binyan Yerushalayim, that's going to happen, Las Lavo, Bona Yerushalayim Hashem, Umeyakara may havu Amri, before the Churban Yerushalayim, what did they used to say? Meaning, apparently, they would also talk about Yerushalayim before the Churban. So Amar Rav Barav Shila, Kibachra Hashem Betzion, Ival Lamosh of Lo. So they would talk about Yerushalayim in its built state, but it's always a focus of the Malachi Ashares up in Shemaim to talk about Yerushalayim. So Hadron Lach Kol Korbanos Hatzibur. Now we're going to begin Bez Hashem the 10th parak of Maseches Menachos. As we said, the Mishnah is going to discuss the dry midos, the dry measures that they would use for karbanos, for measuring flour for a karban mincha. So shtei midos shel yavish. There were two dry midos hayba migdash that they had in the migdash. Isaron lechatzi isaron. They had a measure of an isaron of an eifa, 1/10 of an eifa, and a chatzi isaron, half of 1/10. Rameir says no. There were three measuring utensils. There was isaron isaron vechatzi isaron. There were two kelim that were both called an isaron, and that were different sizes, and we'll have to see how that works out, a third kli that was called a chatzi isaron. So isaron maha yimashamish, What would they do with the Isaron? They would measure all the menachos that require any number of Esronim. Lo yamodeid lo bishlosha lapar. Even though a par normally requires three Esronim of solas, they didn't have a giant kli that held three Esronim of flour to measure out the three Esronim. No, they would just take the Isaron kli and use it three times. Velo bishal shnayim la'ayil, nor would they have a two Isaron kli to measure the Esronim for the ayil. Elamodeid on Esronim. They would measure it one isaron at a time. Chati isaron mahoye meshamesh. What did they do? What did they use the chati isaron for? Shabayamodid chavite koin gadol mechza baboker mechza ben arba'im. They would measure the chavitma, the koin gadol, half in the morning, half in the night. So that's what they used. That was the function of the chati isaron, meaning that once they split the isaron, then they would knead each chati isaron into sheish chalos, into six different loaves. They would bake all 12 chalos together. How they would start the process. So Tanya, Hayra Meir Omer, Matam Lomer Isaron Isaron Lakeves Echad. Why does the pasuk say the word Isaron twice? Isaron Isaron Lakeves Echad. So says the Gemara, Milamit Sheshtei Esronos Hayu B'Migdash. Rav Meir Darshins, it must be that there were two separate kelim, both called an Isaron. How did you distinguish between them? Echad Godush veEchad Machluk. One of them held an Isaron that would be a heaping Isaron, and the other one would hold an Isaron when it's Machluk, without being Godesh it. So the way the Rishonim understand it is, the Godesh one was the smaller one, meaning when you put an Isaron in, it was heaping over the top. Whereas the machluk one was the larger one. When you put a full isaron in, it wasn't heaping over the top. It was just a flat isaron. Godesh shaboy yamodid l'kol ha-menachos. They would use the one that required gedisha to fill the full isaron for all the menachos. Machluk shaboy yamodid l'chavite kohen gadol. But the machluk they would use for the chavite kohen gadol, because they needed to divide it later on. And if you're going to divide it, you need an exact measurement. So with heaping, it's much harder to divide it properly. But the Rishonim explain that Rashi explains over here that when you would try to divide it from a heaping kli, it would likely get all over the floor. So it would spill. But if you divide it from a kli that's filled just to the brim, so then it's much easier to divide it in half. The chamam lo yisham el isaron echad. The chamam said, no, there was only one isaron. Shnemar v'isaron echad v'akevas echad. Imkei matam lomer isaron isaron. So why does it say the word isaron twice? The rabbos chatzi isaron. That's to tell me that there was also a chatzi isaron kli. From Meir chatzi isaron minale. Yeah, but Meir also holds that there's a chatzi isaron, and yet it still says the word isaron twice. So nafkalei mi vi isaron. Rabbi Meir will derive the chatzi isaron from the extra vav. Vi isaron tells us another kli called the chatzi isaron. V'rabbanan vav lo darshi, and the rabbanan simply won't darshan the vav. For Rabbi Meir, hi, the Isaron Echad, the Kevasa Echad, where the Rabbanan Darshan, that it's one and not two, so my Avadai, what does Rabbi Meir do with the Pasuk that the Rabbanan used to teach that there's only one Isaron, that there aren't two Esronos? And so Gemara, hu shelo yimdod, lo bishal shlosha lapar, velo bishal shnayim la'ayil. That Rabbi Meir would use that Pasuk to tell me that they didn't have a giant kli for the three Esronim needed for a par, for the two Esronim needed for an ayil. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, where are they going to learn that din from? Nafkalu min nikudo. They learn that from the nikudo that's on top of the letter vav, the second letter vav, in the word v'isaron, that's mentioned in the pasuk. So since there is a mesorah, that there is a dot on the vav, they darshan that dot. Titania Am Rabbi Yossi Lama Nakud Vav Shabamsi Isaron Shall Isaron Rishon Shall Yom Tov Rishon Shall Chag Shall Yimdod Lo Bishal Shlo Shall Parv Lo Bishal Shnayim La'ayil. Why is it that there's a dot on the top of the word Isaron when the Torah describes the Isaron Rishon of Yom Tov Rishon Shall Chag? Because to tell me we can make a drush from there that a Yidavka have to use a kli that's exactly in Isaron, not a kli that's Shnei Isaronim La'ayil nor Shlosh Isaronim La'par. Rav Meir Nekuda Lo Darish, and Rav Meir says, look, I darshan vavs, you guys don't darshan vavs, but I don't darshan nikud. I'm not going to darshan a dot on top of a letter. Okay, chatzi yisaron mayim shami shvayim modeid chavite kohen gadol. So he said, what would they do with the chatzi yisaron? They would measure the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Modate, so the Gemara says, would they be modate? Is that true that they would be that the measurement was only Chatzi Sarin or Mini? But I'll ask you, Stira, Chavite Kohen Gadol, lo are you button Chatzain, elamevi Isarin Shalem Vichotzeu, that he would bring a fully Sarin, and then they would split it into the morning half and the evening half. When we say modate, it means, yeah, once you split it, you then measure out that it should be split evenly, half into this half Yisarun Kli and half into another half Yisarun Kli. So, Baimine Rami Barcham and Rav Chista, Chatz Yisarun Rameir Godush Haya O Machuk Haya. According to Rameir, who holds that there were two Yisarun Kelim, and one of them was Gedusha, and the other one was Machuka, the one that they would use to measure the Chavite Kohen Gadol was Machuk, was one that was not heaping, and so the Chatzi Yisaron that they would divide into was that Kedusha or Mechuka. So it says, why don't you raise the same Shaila according to the Chamim who disagree and hold that there was only one Yisaron? Even according to them, it was there was a Kli that was a Chatzi Yisaron. So it says, the Rabbanan Yisaron Gufei coming by Luhu, according to the Chamim, the Shaila is even bigger. The Shaila is not about the Chatzi Yisaron, the Shaila is about the Yisaron itself, because Rameir held that there was one of each, and we know therefore that they used the Machluk one for the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Rabbanan, it was never clear which of Rameir's Esronim is the actual Yisaron that the Chamold exists. Samalei mid Rameir nishmal Rameir. From Rav Meir's description of the Midas Yisaron, we could be poshed what Rav Meir holds about the Chatzi Yisaron. And umid Rav Meir nishmal Rabbanan. From Rav Meir, we could also be poshed what the Rabbanan hold about an Yisaron. Mida Amar Rav Meir Yisaron Machluk. From the fact that Rav Meir says for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, they would use the Yisaron Machluk, Chatzi Yisaron Nami Machluk. It stands to reason then that when they would divide it into two Chatzi Yisaronos, the Chatzi Yisaron was also b'mechika. That the Medidos of the Chavite Kohen Gadol were Medidos of Mechika. Mida Rav Meir Machluk, the Rabbanan Nami Machluk. And from the fact that Rav Meir says that the Yisaron of Minchas Chavitin was Machuk, it's mistaver that the Rabbanan also say that way, because the Rabbanan never argued about that part. They only argued about how many there were. The Rabbanan should have spoken up if there was a second Machlokas here. And they said, no, you guys, Rav Meir, you're saying that it's a Machuk. No, it's got to be Gadush. They never say such a thing. Okay, so we said that the way they would do the Chavite Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol would bring an Yisaron Mibeso, and then he would divide it in the Azar into two pieces, and from each half Yisaron they would make six chalos and bring six in the boker and six ben arba'im. So by minei Rami bar Chama Rav Chista, Chavite Kohen Gadol b'mem chalkal nachalos. How would they divide the Chavite Kohen Gadol into chalos? Biyad or b'kli? Would they do it by biyad, or would they do it by weighing the chalos to make sure that they have exactly even six chalos? So pshita de biyad. It's got to be that they did a biyad. Di b'kli turtini yachnis. The exhibit was b'kli. What, you're going to bring a weight into the azara? Says, well, why not? The yachnis. So bring a weight into the azara. No. Kiven de b'klolaksiv lav orach ara. Since it's said in the tochacha in Vayikra, it says ve'yishivu lachmachem b'mishkal, that you're gonna have such troubles that you're gonna have to weigh out your bread. So that's considered a simon klala. So we don't bring weight into the mikdash. So another suffix that Rami Bar Chama has, Baimnei Rami Bar Chama Rav Chista, Shulchan Mao Shei Kadesh Kmatzim Bagoda Shalo. The Levona that came with the Lechem Apanim was supposed to be put in Bazichi Levona, in these spoons that they put on the Shulchan where the Lechem Apanim was, and the Bazichi Levona were Mekadesh, the Levona that was inside of them. And by whenever you have a Kmitza, a Karban Mincha, they put it into a Kli Sharis, now it was Mekadesh it. So the Gemara is saying, Rami Bar Chama is raising the Shaila, what if you just put the Levona directly on the airspace of the Shulchan, above the Shulchan? Or you put the kmitza directly above the Shulchan. So does the Shulchan have the capacity to be Mekadesh, that which is heaping over the airspace of the Shulchan directly? Do we say, the Mekadesh Lechem, Kamatzim Nami Mekadesh? Look, if the Shulchan could be Mekadesh Lechem, it should be able to be Mekadesh the Kamatzim as well. Odilma, the Chazil, Mekadesh Lechazilei, La Mekadesh. Or maybe it can only be Mekadesh Lechem, because Lechem is supposed to go directly on the Shulchan. But things that are not supposed to go directly on the Shulchan, it can't be Mekadesh. Amalei, Eina Mekadesh. It's not Mekadesh. Eini, Vamar Biyachlan, Devri Amar Tzfachayim, Mechza Kofel, Nimtza Shulchan Mekadesh, Chamisha Asar, Tefach Lemaila. If you hold that they would fold up the Lechem Apanim, 2.5 Tfachim high, so then, and there were rows of 6, so 6 times 2.5 Tfachim, the Shulchan is Mekadesh up to 15 Tfachim above its height. Lidivri Amar Tzfachayim Kofel, Nimtza Shulchan Mekadesh, Shneim Asar, Tefach Lemaila. And if you held that they would fold up the Lechem Apanim, which will be a discussion we'll have later in the Gemara, 2 Tvachim high, so 6 times 2 will be 12 Tvachim off of the height of the table. So you see that even things that the Shulchan has the ability to be Mekadesh on great height, because the Kiddush Lechem itself is not a great Kiddush, obviously it's Mekadesh Lechem, it must be telling me that the Shulchan has the capacity to be Mekadesh up to this height, and even other things. So Amalei, Einu Mekadesh Likarev, Av Mekadesh Lipasel. Yes, the Shulchan has the ability to be Mekadesh other things, but only in the sense that it's now subject to psulina, but not necessarily in the sense that you can actually use it as a karban. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom.